Good morning. It is Thursday, July 18th in Hall 4D. This is the ATRT2 coordination wrap-up meeting.
This is ATRT2, wrap-up session in Durban. Welcome to those in the room and those online. What we're going to do with our time is have a discussion. Can you take the volume down just a hair? Thank you. Have a discussion around the templates that we developed and provide any additional editorial guidance out to the team for folks who will be assigned, who are assigned to draft templates that we haven't received yet. Also to discuss our work plan between now and Los Angeles, and also just to have a little light brainstorming around the shape of the report, the recommendations, some thinking about what form and direction we think that should take. So, and thank you for getting breakfast and coffee for us. Very much, very much appreciated. Are you able? I know that I think the draft templates were circulated by email. I sent one, Fiona sent one, and Ari has links to Google Docs.
Yeah, I've got two of them in Google Drive.
Google Drive, okay. Are you able to pull them up on the screen, Kit or Alice?
Those templates were for future recommendations, not review of past ones, though.
No, sure, they were... hers were looking backwards at the Berkman report on both instances.
But they weren't recommendations.
They were not recommendations, okay. But they were backward-looking issues, if you will.
Yes, this is Avery. Mine were looking back at recommendations that anteceded ATRT1.
Larissa?
Brian, you said Fiona circulated something?
Fiona Sanga, yeah.
We did not get that.
Can you send that to the list? Okay. She'll send that to the list. Do you have internet access?
Yes. Avery, when did you send your email? Because I don't have it in my inbox.
I sent two pointers to Google Drive documents to the full list. Came actually the day before Brian sent his to the list. I'll find you the exact date. But I was doing them in Google Drive, and I sent the URLs.
Okay, I found them now. Thank you.
Okay, so let's give Alice a bit of time to pull it up on the screen. But what I'd like to do is walk through the drafts, have an open discussion about the structure of those drafts so far, and think about how they might be improved, what specific additional work needs to be done to have a complete draft of proposed recommendation and underlying analysis. Okay, we've got the template coming up on the screen. Here we go. Okay, so you've got access to Aubrey's, and Fiona just sent hers, and then you have mine. So let's just walk through those four.
Is there anybody online? Okay. Just Barbara. Greetings, Barbara. Okay. So, Aubrey, why don't you walk us through what you did here?
This is Avery Doria speaking again, which has become my new name.
Again.
No, sorry, this is Avery Doria speaking again. Okay, so the first one, the first paragraph was just an indication that of the origin of this, that it was a recommendation in the Berkman Report, not specifically brought forward by ATRT1, but of course it is part of the ATRT1 full piece of work, and it was on the cross-community review, and basically starts out by quoting the relevant parts, or at least the parts I thought were relevant, and then it goes on to sort of say, since it wasn't a specifically called out recommendation, it does not have a specific staff report. And then basically looks at summary of community input, and I'm not sure that what I have there is that section, but some other section, and talks about the various experiments in creating cross-community groups that have happened over the last couple years and the various levels of success. And then I didn't get any further.
Thank you for that. Interesting, pulling from Berkman. As you note, not a recommendation of the review team, ATRT1, but...
Quite aware.
Yeah.
But the mm-hmm. ATRT1 basically ignored most of Berkman and also Yes.
No, I'm sorry. I have to correct that. We had lengthy discussions with Berkman.
But they're not in the
report.
They
were tasked with a separate parallel line of work. We took a lot of their analysis into our thinking as we developed our recommendations, so I have to challenge that statement.
Okay, you can challenge it all you wish, but if you look at the report and you look at the recommendations, you didn't bring them forward. And so you may have talked about...
We did not ignore the work.
Right, you focused on GAC and board. And there's no criticism, you know, that's what you decided to do, all well and good.
I'm sorry, that's a qualitative statement. I'm sorry, I'm challenging the qualitative statement.
You did not bring the work forward in the ATRT1 recommendations. And looking at the whole cross-community drive on this was not something that was addressed in the ATRT1 recommendations. It was a GAC board predominantly piece of work. Now, that's a decision you made. I'm sure you discussed it extensively. I haven't gone back to the phone calls, et cetera, to listen to those or read transcripts of them, I admit. But, and there's no reason, but if you're going to say that this is somehow irrelevant because ATRT1 did not cover it, that does not strike. Then we're basically saying that if ATRT1 did not touch the issue, we'll never touch it.
So let's clear the air, because you put an if in front of that statement. I am not saying we should ignore this or we're going to ignore this. In fact, cross-community deliberation is one of the strongest themes that's come across this week.
Exactly.
But please, let's not quarrel.
Okay,
you may have misinterpreted my observation that it was interesting that you pulled from the Berkman report this piece, and it was interesting in a positive way because cross-community deliberations this week has been one of the strongest themes that have come across, and in my view may in fact be a very good candidate for recommendations. So if I had to make that clear in my opening comments, I apologize. But okay. I thought it was very interesting that you pulled this forward because it wasn't, in fact, part of a formal recommendation of AT1, but this is a key issue that's coming to the surface. So
okay.
I think it's actually a good basis.
I apologize for misunderstanding a phrase that one said, it is interesting. I normally hear that as the beginning of a negative statement.
Okay, understood. No harm, no foul.
Thank you.
The question is, you've got this as a backward-looking draft template in process. And if we are to make a recommendation on cross-committee deliberations, then that would be part of a draft forward-looking template, which is the other part of this document. So in thinking this through as it's developed, we have to talk about how to further develop this draft. And then what would be the interplay, if you will, from a substance standpoint between this backward-looking assessment and then the forward-looking recommendation? And do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, because personally, yeah, I think part of what I'm sort of saying is that ATRT1, Berkman, One World Trust, all of those things are indeed backward-looking. ICANN has been getting many recommendations over the years from many different things. And so I tend to think that our backward looking has to include more than just the ATRT1 because so many transparency and accountability recommendations came through over the years that in a sense we have to include, especially if they're relevant to the AOC 9.1 issues, that they need a certain amount of backward looking to pull back the incredibly good work that was done by One World Trust, by Berkman and such, that, you know, was not part of the formal recommendations made by HRT1. So in a sense it is backward looking, but also forward looking.
So HRT1 did in fact review the prior accountability and transparency reports. We did consider them. They are relevant. We have to also make a recommendation per Workstream 4 on the overall review process. And since there have been a number of reports and recommendations on accountability and transparency, I agree that taking a backward-looking view at prior reports and a global view of this process and how to improve this process is something we should focus on.
Thank you.
Alan.
Thank you. I don't have the history in ICANN that either of you have, not quite as long, but I have seen a good number of recommendations from external reports that I thank the gods we did not implement. So the existence of a recommendation that wasn't implemented alone, I don't think is something that we would want to rely on. If we feel the recommendation has good meshing with something that we want to say, it's fine to quote it as one of the references. But the existence of a recommendation that ICANN didn't implement, I would not want to set as a model that automatically moves forward into our report. Thank you.
Can I?
Thank you. Sure, Aubrey.
I am not saying that because it was recommended in the past, we therefore must recommend it now. What I'm saying is the fact that it was recommended in the past makes it worth reviewing as a possible input to a future recommendation.
Thank you. You've quoted from Berkman in there, but in terms of summary of ICANN input, what do you have up on the screen?
Not much. Basically, and as I said, there wasn't a staff report to go on cross-community reviews.
Right.
So just an indication of that, not meant to be critical, just indicating that for rather neutral reasons, since the staff reports were on the specific formal ATRT1 recommendation part of the document, there wasn't any. And then the community review is more what we were picking up these last couple days, and that's not in there yet. And so basically I just started creating a section that talked about some of the efforts that have gone on in the intervening years, and then as I say, that's as far as I got. It wasn't a whole lot of time for writing in the last
understood.
4 days.
That's understood. Alan?
Yeah, forgive me, but I thought we were talking about form here, not the content of a specific recommendation and whether it goes forward or not.
Okay, we're not making decisions on what goes forward or not. We are talking about form, but if we're going to provide editorial guidance to the rest of the team coming out of this meeting, at some point we have to talk about what goes into the report as well, not just structure and form. Are we talking past each other?
I think so. For instance, I disagree with the headings we're using right now, and I think that's the kind of thing. What are we putting forward to the rest of the team to use to fill out? And I thought that was what we were here to discuss, not whether we should do a recommendation on, whistleblower or not, or.
We're not talking
this particular one.
Okay, we're not talking about whether we should make a recommendation, so we're in agreement on that. We are going to talk about form. It's also useful to talk about substance. What type of content are you pulling into this draft, to underscore, so that we can give a wholesome set of guidance to the rest of the team in developing the template. So doing both, if that's agreeable. Okay. Lisa.
Lisa Flew for the record. Well, I think we're lacking to describe the reason why we want this recommendation or what we're trying to accomplish with the recommendation, because we've been talking about this when we evaluated the first recommendations, and it seems that staff had a hard time figuring out why did we want to have the recommendation or so. I would like to have that described.
Thank you. Aubrey.
Yes, to Lisa's point, indeed, looking at this form, there is no particular line that sort of says why. And part of what I was ended up doing is here sort of saying, well, where would particular information go in this form? And that's the reason for talking about content, I think, is because there was content that I thought was relevant to this issue that where does actually one put it? And one of the things I didn't do was create new topic headings, sort of saying, well, what's the history of the issue? Well, why are we, well, and I wouldn't have dared to write why we were recommending it yet at this point, because we were still in that listening mode and that would have been anticipating things we were hearing. I was just basically trying to use the form and see what kind of information would fit into what hole. And since with both issues that I was working on, they are more four-ish issues, but I didn't think we were doing just one work stream. I thought we were doing any of the work streams. My assignments seem to come out of as much one as four, that how do we take the information that I think we would need to include in a report and what little one of these boxes would it put it in? And I admit, when you look at the information that I put in there, and that's the reason for reviewing content, is to see if it matches the box you stuffed it in. It didn't quite fit in the box. And I started writing paragraphs that would try and explain putting the information in a particular box.
Thank you. Fiona? No. So before we, Alan.
Sorry. Listening to this discussion, I think the reason is the titles weren't correct is because this was a backward-looking one, and as per the discussion that focused between me and Larry, we're not making recommendations on the backward-looking ones. We are evaluating the implementation. We may end up making a recommendation if it fits within the ATRT scope,
We have the latitude to make recommendations picking up from ATRT-1 specifically. We don't have that latitude for SSR or for Who Is.
Yes.
And we have the latitude for new recommendations and new issues, as well as recommendations on the review process.
But I would have assumed we're using the template for new recommendations for that, even though the history may have gone back.
The template as structured is in two parts. The first part, which Avery started to fill out, is the backward-looking assessment. The second part is for recommendations on new issues. I'm correct in that. That's the structure of this document, right? Beth, thank you. So, Fiona.
Yeah, I just recalled what I was going to say. I think our input should come in the section that is indicated for HR2 analysis of the issue. This is we now explain our justification and our thinking on why that there's an issue, and then we move to the next part that talks about what are we recommending, the draft recommendation. So I think the structure for me was quite clear on what we are putting where.
Thank you, Fiona. And actually, Alice, if you could pull up just the blank template, and then we can walk through that. Before we dive into the structure and headings form discussion, let's all just note that this is not necessarily going to be the form of the final report. And let's just note that this is simply a tool to help us organize our thinking. We're not creating the Ten Commandments here, okay? This is a tool. So with that in mind, I think we've already touched on a useful point about rationale, right? So why don't we now walk through the form, the headings, and see what's missing and talk about what should be in there. Thanks. Offering.
One thing that hadn't been clear to me until this meeting is that this form was only a form for backward looking. I thought it was the form for all issues. Oh, okay. Fine. I thought Alan had said this was the form for backward looking. I guess I misunderstood. Okay.
The way I interpreted it was that wasn't a template but two templates, A and B, and we would pick use template A for looking back for reviewing the past RTs, and should we choose to make a recommendation or the analysis of whether we make a recommendation, use template B. I thought it was an A or B issue.
I guess I misunderstood. I thought it was an A and B for anything that had been previously discussed.
Putting aside what this template reflects or not, let's have a tool that allows us to do an assessment of the implementation of a prior recommendation and a tool that allows us to sketch out a proposed recommendation. Do we agree on that?
Yep.
Okay. So part A, which is titled Analysis of Previous Review Team's Recommendations, is that clearly stated enough? The first dash is recommendation, which I interpreted to mean what is the backward-looking recommendation from a review team. State that as it was. And Avery, in your case, you pulled from the Berkman Center on an issue that's live, and I thought that was perfectly appropriate. But I think the way this was structured, that it was ATRT2 recommended that the board should engage in, regular training and whatnot, and you would state the recommendation there. Avery?
Yeah, I guess I was, and I did overlook just the word teams. I was basically saying any recommendations that have been made on accountability and transparency were fair game for this kind of approach.
So I accept that statement, but I think we have to recognize that the affirmation of commitments is what establishes recommendations as a term of art within its four corners, and that if we were to refer to the One World Trust document, for example, and there were recommendations coming out of that document, that recommendation is qualitatively different from the recommendations this review team makes. Are you understanding my distinction?
I probably not, because when I hear the qualitatively, I think that that word is actually problematic in this description. They have a different genesis, they have a different ontology, but qualitatively, I would hesitate to judge them as qualitatively different. They certainly have a different ontology. Origin.
One is from a review team and one is from a consultant that's been engaged to do a study. But in terms of our responsibility and our scope of work, recommendations within the framework of the AOC are the recommendations that we offer out of our report.
Certainly for ATRT2, our recommendations will be the recommendations we offer. I have a problem restricting ourselves to just ATRT1's recommendations as our source.
I'm not making that restriction. Okay. Is everyone comfortable with the heading A as descriptive? Any changes, starting with stating the recommendation from the prior AOC review team that we're looking at? Or is this where the disconnect is, Avery, that you would pull in to this piece a recommendation from the One World Trust report, for example?
Yes. Anything, but I would look at it that anything where it's an accountability and transparency issue as defined by the AOC, that in us reviewing, if it's something that we've decided it's important enough to consider and possibly make a recommendation on, and I'm not assuming that we will or will not make a recommendation on any particular issue, but if it's an AOC matter, whether ATRT1 made a recommendation on it or not, I believe we need to pull in the history of previous recommendations insofar as that is history that we should not lose.
And I agree with the last part of that statement. I believe, and we can confirm it by looking at 9.1, that the charter of this review team is to look at ICANN's implementation of prior review team's recommendations specifically. So that I believe we're in agreement, because I think looking at past history that predates the AOC is perfectly appropriate. So it's where we pull that history in is all we have to figure out. Alan?
Yeah. I completely agree that the existence of this recommendation and our belief that it is a good one or a good fodder for one within the ATRT scope is fine, but I would have put a lot of this information under, you know, things like background research undertaken under B. It's a new recommendation which may well be based on something someone recommended once, but it's a new recommendation from the ATRT point of view, and therefore it's not a retrospective look back. It's, you know, we're not ignoring history, but it's a future looking recommendation.
Olivier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I think I'm reliving Groundhog Day at the moment. I thought we had discussed this earlier this week, and we had reached consensus on this. Any new recommendations come in under B? A is only looking at the older recommendations and making recommendations. If there's new recommendations to be made, they will be made in B, I believe, and with a pointer from A to B.
That was the understanding, as I recall. Fiona.
Fiona, for the record, I think what is important, more than the semantics of the titles we are using for now, is that we understand the thought process and what we need to have on the template so that we are all at par on why we are making these recommendations and where we are coming from and how we arrive to that position. And I think that is just a guide of what that template should look like for prior reviews and then for new recommendations. And for me, it was very clear. So I'm getting a bit lost with the discussion we're having right now.
But I just got lost with your discussion, because I thought the Groundhog Day issue was we are not making recommendations, explicit numbered recommendations, on the retrospective review of past RTs. We may choose to come up with a new one if it's within the ATRT scope.
With the exception of ATRT 1, we could look at any of the recommendations from ATRT 1, assess ICANN's implementation of those recommendations, and for one of them, issue a new recommendation that ties logically to that recommendation and recommend to ICANN that they do X, Y, and Z further to ensure the implementation of that prior recommendation. We can't do that with respect to SSR. We can't do that with respect to who is. We're just providing backward-looking assessments. So with that caveat to your statement, are we in agreement?
Yes, except I think for this, the purposes of this review, it would be useful to start off the assessment of template A by looking at a specific recommendation that one of their previous review teams did and see whether it fits. This is a forward-looking recommendation, and I don't think we can use it as the prime example to assess A.
Okay. Do you want to pull up my draft, which is on the public comment recommendation from ATRT 1, or should we just stick with the forum and the forum discussion on forum?
No, I think yours is a marvelous way to start.
Okay.
It is one from ATRT 1, therefore we could make follow-on recommendations, but the bulk of it, I think, applies to all four teams.
Okay. Avery?
Yeah, I have changed mine. I have deleted the A from both of them. I have moved the information down to B, and I would have never suggested mine as the one to start with.
Noted.
But they are changed now.
Okay. This one is on the recommendations, actually three recommendations on the public comment process. And again, it's not showing up on the screen for anyone online, but in my email I caveated this as this is a draft. This does not represent conclusions. This is really just a sketch of work to provide guidance for drafting templates. So under the heading recommendation, I went back and copied and pasted recommendations 15, 16, and 17, which were specific to the establishment of a comment and reply comment process, and also with respect to prioritization, etc. So that's all I did. Went back and copy and pasted the recommendations. Moving on to the next heading, and I'm not putting off a discussion on changing headings, adding headings, but let's just walk through this. So the next set, if you can go back up. Thanks. So the next was summary of ICANN input on implementation, including effectiveness. And so here I went back to our meetings in Los Angeles and went through the transcripts. And, you know, as you see in the text, just provided some specific quotes from staff, from Brian Peck. I think this is the important part of our report that reflect, in fact, the inputs that we receive from staff in somewhat some very clear way. Any stop here? Any discussions on the content? Alan.
Okay. First of all, I must admit I read this as the format that would be used in the draft report. So some of my comments that I put and I just sent them all to you do not quite apply. It wasn't clear to me whether you were your term, including effectiveness, was including our assessment of the whether they were effective, or the ICANN staff assessment of whether they were effective.
Which language specifically are you pointing to?
The first one, the one we're talking about, summary of ICANN input on implementation, including effectiveness.
Effectiveness of the implementation.
In whose opinion? ICANN staff's or ours?
Oh, good question. No, I think that's a great...
Well, I'll give you my answer. If it
should be staff's, right?
One of the things we need to do is not mix issues, and if we're reporting on what ICANN staff said, then it's fair to say they thought it was a rotten recommendation or they thought it was good to the extent that they gave given that assessment. In most cases, they didn't, but in some cases, they did. So I think I'm presuming that is ICANN staff's assessment of the effectiveness.
And I think you're right there, too, because later on we get into our analysis, and since we're going to have analysis later, yeah, I would read that as ICANN's, and it could be board as well, not just staff, in terms of input, and was it recommendation?
Board is part of staff, from the point of view of our review of them.
I just wanted to make it clear it's board and staff. Yes, it's their view on the effectiveness of the implementation. And among that could be their assessment of whether the recommendation was difficult to implement.
Well, I think it would also be the effectiveness of the recommendation and its implementation. So it's a dual thing.
Agreed. Any other discussion on this section?
My other comment was, and again on the assumption this was going to be used in the report, is the level of detail of who said what could well belong in a footnote or an appendix, but certainly doesn't belong in a report we expect anyone to read without going to sleep. So.
And you're referring to the ultimate report now?
Correct.
Thank you. Olivier?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the size of the paragraph an indication of the amount of text that we would be looking at having in such a format?
It's an indication of the amount of time I had to work on it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The reason for it being that if we do have more text than this, I would suggest perhaps having a few bullet points to summarize the paragraph underneath. I do know that it's been told to us in wearing other hats that bullet points are always helpful.
Absolutely. I think people can expand on this, adding bullet points, summaries, to make it clearer. Absolutely. And this is part of the editorial suggestions we'll send out to the entire team, so thank you very much for that. I think it probably is to... Yeah, Larissa?
Brian, just a question. So for each of the recommendations, you're looking to have this form completed for each of the recommendations of the three review teams, correct? In other
yes.
words, there's 27 recommendations,
yes.
15 recommendations from who is, and however many.
Sticking with our lingo of the backward-looking piece, ICANN's implementation of recommendations
each
of prior
one.
Review teams, yes, ultimately we have to assess implementation mm-hmm. of all the recommendations. A draft template for all of them would
right.
be desirable.
Okay.
We haven't made that specific assignment yet, but that's correct. Fiona?
My understanding was that we're going to only focus on the recommendations from the previous teams that we needed to carry forward, not all of them. You are just saying we're going to look
Can
at...
Can you restate that?
My understanding was it's to the answer to Larissa's question would be for the recommendations that we have identified that we shall carry forward to as part of the recommendations we are looking into in terms of giving recommendations to. Because if a recommendation was given by HRT1, for example, it's well implemented, there are no issues, do we still take it through this whole process?
Um,
We have to assess how ICANN implemented all of the recommendations of all the prior review teams. We could conclude in every instance that they implemented it, it's been effective, and no further recommendations with respect to ATRT1 are required. That being said, we still need to go through that analysis and assessment. So preparing a template on each of the recommendations of the prior review teams as part of our working methodology would be an important thing to do. Is that responsive?
Clear.
Thank you.
Brian, related to that, thank you for putting three of them together, because I was going to ask originally, can we merge them if they're similar and save ourselves a lot of replication, and I support what you did.
Thank you. Let's stay here, because you called out a good question, Alan, about the heading effectiveness from ICANN staff and board point of view. Let's just talk a little bit about what should be in here. In my brief stab at it, I pulled some quotes from staff interaction in Los Angeles that reflected staff's report on implementation. I did not include any staff observations about was this recommendation, did it have an effect, positive, negative, or neutral, the effectiveness of implementing this recommendation. I didn't put in any staff observations about whether the recommendation itself was problematic in terms of implementability. So with a view toward providing a balanced overview of ICANN input, what are the components that we should strive to include in this section? Just so we're all clear on that. Alan?
I think we have two choices. Either we can summarize in one section the input we got from staff. I think it's going to be hard in some cases to separate that from the belief, ICANN's belief or staff's belief that it was not implementable or it was a stupid recommendation or whatever, because that's governed, that's tightly linked or tightly coupled to the rest of their input. So that's why I think it is reasonable to have effectiveness and to modify the word effectiveness to say whose judgment is it, and I think it should be including both the effectiveness of the concept and the implementation, because that's all tied together in what they've ultimately done. If the board has decided in its input into staff that this was something that shouldn't be done, as is the case in at least one that I'm thinking of, that decision is an important part of ICANN not doing anything or doing a subset. So I think this section should be the summary of what ICANN told us, both in the spreadsheet we got plus the verbal dialogue that went along with it.
I think there's agreement on that point. Are there other elements that we should be sure to bring in to this section? Any suggestions, or do you think that covers the waterfront? Lisa?
Well, I don't know if we need to make it specific, but any barriers to implementation? We've been talking about that, and I know it's implicit in effectiveness, but as you're talking about, Alan, it can be, is a recommendation effective, or was the implementation effective?
Yeah, I think so. I meant both, and I think we probably need two different words to make sure it's clear. One is a judgment call from the board and staff, whether it is both implementable and does it make sense in the context of what it was trying to address. And then the second part is, do they think they fixed the problem, assuming they went ahead and did something? We probably need better words to, instead of wrapping everything into effect, one word of effectiveness.
Okay, so you're suggesting an edit to the heading?
I
That's fine. That's why we're here.
Including staff slash board assessment and ultimate effectiveness. So, are they assessing it as something that was going to be effective, and what do they believe the final result was?
If I could take that up and offer a suggested modification. So, summary of ICANN assessment, was it? What was your edit?
Sorry, it disappeared off the board.
Summary of ICANN implementation. Summary of ICANN input on recommendation, including its projected effectiveness.
No, yeah, may I? I think I have something that might. Summary of ICANN's assessment of implementation, including observations on implementability and effectiveness. Is that getting?
Yeah.
Is that where you're going? Summary of ICANN's assessment of implementation, including observations on implementability and effectiveness.
Yeah. That's
in the mark?
That I think is fine. I thought it was also including a third component of assuming they have actually implemented it. They judged it implementable and reasonable, implemented it, and it failed. As an extreme example, that's the third part.
Is that effectiveness, or is that something different? And I'm looking for the word.
we have some recommendations that were consciously changed because they did not believe they would be effective. And then there's the second issue of when they were finished, do they think they've done a good job and it was effective?
Okay, not to quibble, but I don't believe ICANN changed any of the recommendations. So,
do
you want to
restate that? Examples.
They changed a recommendation, or there was an aspect of implementability that, in your view, didn't follow the recommendation?
As an example, and maybe it's a unique example, but it's the one I'm thinking of, the recommendation to put all the policy information in a single place was, according to the second input we got from staff, deliberately altered by the board to do something different.
I just want to make sure we're clear here that the WHOIS review team made recommendations. They are on paper. We can read them. What I'm hearing you say is ICANN changed a recommendation. I'm stuck on that point.
That is what we were told.
Okay, Denise?
So for that particular recommendation, the recommendation was not changed. There were some recommendations in the WHOIS review team report that the board, while agreeing with the overarching objective, gave specific direction on how it could be implemented. Some of them, there was one in particular that was not feasible in terms of ICANN being able to implement it, given its contractual obligations and authority.
I'm not claiming they changed the wording of the recommendation. Their direction told staff to implement something different.
And I think the focus is on implementation. I think what you're focusing on is in implementing a recommendation, in my own words, who as review team members have said they went off in a different direction. But that's part and parcel of implementation. I don't want to quibble here, but
they deemed it unimplementable and therefore did something different.
Okay. So in getting back to the heading, if we have observations on implementability and effectiveness, the observations on implementability would be the inputs from ICANN that we would look for to include in this template, as an input. And then input from the WHOIS review team are we square?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, so is everyone okay with the heading as refashioned? Okay. And do we have an understanding on the content we're pulling into this section? Okay. So let's move to the next section.
Can I just...
Yes, Denise.
So I think there's perhaps a distinction for you to consider here, and that is the recommendations go to the board of any of these reviews. And then the board decides whether or not to essentially accept and direct staff to implement. So it's the board acceptance as well that you may want to capture here.
Yeah. Does everyone agree with that? So it'd be summary of ICANN's assessment of implementation, including acceptance of acceptance of recommendations.
Acceptance.
I think that might
so,
be the...
So the board accepts the report and then approves the recommendations and directs staff to implement them.
I think that's the better way, because they're going to... The board is going to accept the report. They're going to receive it on the end, and the one meaning of that term, they'll always accept the report. One would hope. So approval? Okay. So the proposed edit is summary of ICANN's assessment of implementation, including board approval of recommendations and observations on implementability and effectiveness. Before we go take this step, and Beth, I don't want to put you on the spot, but we should probably check the AOC on that, because I think the AOC might be more directive to the board to take action.
So maybe perhaps I can help here. The affirmation of commitment commits the board to take action on the report. Not approve the recommendations, but simply take action on the report within 6 months of receiving it. Every report.
And to break that down, theoretically, action could include approval, could include rejection, could include ignoring. I mean, if action is action, right?
Not ignoring.
Conceptually, hypothetically. So I'm just trying to work out, is this the right word? Is approval the right word? Maybe the phrase should be action taken.
Sure, if you're referring to a specific recommendation, you want to know what if you want to catalog what the action was.
Maybe action taken is better, as long as it's clear to the board and the staff in providing inputs that the meaning of that is also, did you approve?
Sure. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Lack of action is action.
Sure, hypothetically. So the edit will be, can we go back to the heading? And I thought we were going to get out of here early today. Summary.
I presume within Word we can't change any of these colors. Reading red on yellow is virtually impossible for me at this distance.
Okay. Summary of ICANN's assessment of implementation, including action taken, comma, and observations on... Do we need observations? Including action taken, comma, implementability, and effectiveness. Summary of ICANN's assessment of implementation, including action taken, implementability, and effectiveness. That doesn't work. So we need observations on. Okay, so summary of ICANN's assessment of implementation, including actions taken, and observations on implementability and effectiveness. How's that?
Hi, it's Lisa for the record. I think we take the self-explanation of the title. Before it was easier to understand. Now you need to know that this refers to the AOC. So if you want a document that's easy to work with for the other guys who are not in the room right now, or the rest of the team, I think it's easier to have the board approval. Or am I completely wrong? You look at me like...
Well, take action taken is meant to... is meant to address whether the board approved the recommendation or not. If your concern is clarity to the rest of the team members in the email that's sent along, we could certainly make that clear, that that's the meaning of that term. Would that cover off your concern? Okay. Well, I'll make sure we put that in the email. Alan?
Yeah. If I understood Lisa correctly, there may well be merit in separating out board action, staff action.
Oh, so are we saying make it board and staff explicit?
No, I'm saying two separate headings, one related to the board assessment and action, and one related to what staff did with it. I'm just saying it may well make it simpler and you know, clearer to fill in the blanks if we do that. I can live with what we have here. Just
So if we made it summary of ICANN's assessment of implementation, including actions taken by the board. Yeah. Beth, feel free.
I think this section, we didn't send in our template because it's still kind of embarrassingly draft. So we have a template as well. We've been working on it. Larry has. It's kind of still embarrassingly in draft form. In this section, I don't know how much you want to limit yourself by being so specific in the heading. When we were doing this, we took it more as ICANN as a whole. When you say ICANN, staff, board, what was the process they went through? I looked at, you know, the monthly summaries, the progress, the different feedback. Denise was very iterative with us, and we had a lot of discussions about how that was going and where they were finding difficulties. And then there's also the 2012 yearly summary report. I think all of those things could live there in a little bit of a story for each recommendation. I think that might give people a little more room to include what they'd like as opposed to limiting yourself.
Thank you. Fiona?
I'm just getting a bit concerned. As we work on this template, it looks like we have gone back to where we started. Remember the templates we developed for staff to fill in on the different issues? Now, when we start being very specific, we are actually going through each of those questions. And you know what I'm going to do? I will copy-paste. And when I copy-paste, we'll just end up with the same big document. And I don't know how much value that will add to what we want to accomplish. So my thinking is, can we change the approach a bit and do this general top-level summary for this? Because that is what we had agreed during the week, and that is how I thought we'd pick it up today. But we have gone back to the beginning, and we may find ourselves doing the same work over. It's just in a different style. And really, that's a repetition.
I guess I view this as the heading tells us these are things that are appropriate to put here. We're not demanding that each box be filled in. So I think it is a summary of not the cut and paste, but it may depend on your style of how to do it.
If we can step back from this a bit, look at the entire template. What are we trying to capture? Input from ICANN, input from the community. Can you scroll down, Alice? And other research. That's what we're trying to capture. Input from ICANN, input from the community, other research, and what's our analysis. So those are the building blocks at the highest level. Fiona?
The only thing is that now when we start getting over critical on the wording, we start moving from all that you're saying, what you want to capture. So it starts looking like a different kind of document. And then when I opened the other documents, we started off with the ones the staff were using for presentations during the face-to-face meetings in LA. I'm like, we're doing the same thing. I just need to know how this is adding. We need to be doing something that is adding value to our activities.
Your comments are appreciated. The more granular we make the heading, the more potential there is for narrowing things and excluding things, and the more potential for creating a dense report. At the same time, if we... Okay, so a heading could be summary of ICANN input. Stop. Okay? And then in the email on top of this that goes out to the review team members who are not here, I need to say, be sure to include, among other things, but not limited to, ICANN board's action taken, assessments, observations on implementability and effectiveness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in that description, I need to be as complete as I can be. Olivier.
Fair enough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Olivier speaking. You could make use of square brackets. No. This is a serious solution or a serious suggestion. You may have the short header and underneath, in order to advise those people who are not here today, have in square brackets, please make sure you include X, Y, Z, etc. So then we all know that this is not going to be in the final text, but this is just an editorial note.
Thank you. We need to be clear for the members who are not here today, who... Avery.
This is Avery speaking, Mr. Chairman. Since we're becoming much more ITU-like, I totally support the recommendation of my distinguished colleague. Thank you.
I never had control of this meeting. Alan?
I completely disagree with both of those, because I suggest we use round brackets.
The suggestion is summary of ICANN input with a descriptive in the cover email versus summary of ICANN input with a descriptive in brackets as part of the heading. Can I see a show of hands for A?
Sir, what was the question
no.
again?
If you're not listening, you don't get it. A was summary of ICANN input, and in the email to the review team members, clear description of what should be included in that section versus summary of ICANN input and brackets with the similar description. Show of hands for A. Show of hands for B. We'll go with brackets and a descriptive. Thank you very much. Moving on to the next section.
We're not going to debate the shape. One,
two. I'm about to go walk in traffic. Can we move to the next section? I'm glad we're laughing. That's good. But can we please, for the next few minutes, try to be a bit better about this?
One, two, three, five, six.
The next section is community input, correct?
Yeah. Hey.
Summary of community input. So it'll be summary of community input, and I'll put in brackets in that heading, be sure to include, among other things, but not limited to...
All right.
What are we getting from the community? We've gotten public comments. We've had face-to-face meetings. Is there any other form of community input that I'm overlooking
there?
Emails. Thank you.
Yeah. One, two, hey.
Olivier?
Hey. One,
Mr. Chairman, thank you. It's Olivia speaking. How do we incorporate in this any anonymous or any confidential info that we might have received by email? Would this be included here or elsewhere?
Well, since it's confidential and we have to hold it confidential, or at least think through what parts we hold confidential and what parts we don't, because these templates are going to be circulated to the full team in full view, and we have to respect confidentiality. That's an important question. Yeah. I'm not sure I have an answer at this moment in time. Does anybody have an answer? Olivier?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Olivier speaking. Just with a caveat that, of course, this relates to the review of the previous ATRT1's recommendations. So that I might be asking a strawman question here, but we still need to be aware if that turns up that we know what to do with it.
Thank you. You're correct. That's the focus of this section of the document.
Hey,
I think there was one confidential input. It may come up.
Yeah.
Noted. Clearly, if it comes up and you're handling the confidential information and you're not sure as to how to handle it in the context of this template, leave it out for later discussion. Thank you. Fiona.
I was actually going to suggest that we discuss it on the confidential list. We still do the same and circulate on the confidential list.
Good suggestion. David?
Yeah, the only caveat on that would be that the confidential list is not the entire team.
Right, and I have one addition for you. Stephen Conroy asked to be removed.
Already has been.
Okay, great.
But
to your point, that list doesn't include all members of the... Yeah, please. Alan.
This is what we're going to be using to create the assessment that we'll put in the report. So I think what goes in here is a reference to we were also told in some vague terms, and we may need to keep quiet private records to document it should we feel that's necessary, but this is the fodder that goes into the final report, so we've got to keep it suitably vague. But if we think it's going to be a substantive input into the report, confidential or not, it should be referenced here, clearly not in violating any confidentiality.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else on this heading and section? Okay. Next is summary of other relevant research. That's clear, right? Okay. Next section is 8. Alan.
Yeah. In reading this, I wasn't quite sure how relevant it is. And on further thinking, it is. But I think it's going to be, in many cases, an empty section. Does that sound reasonable in terms of how you created this? I mean, what you were envisioning when you wrote the titles.
You may be right. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Are you okay with leaving the heading in for now?
Oh, I have no problem leaving the heading in. There's a heading before we go any further that I think is missing, though, and that's our belief of what still needs to be done.
Our belief of what?
What still needs to be done.
I actually think I included in my draft in... Can you scroll down a little bit, Alice? If I'm not mistaken, I think it was in this. You'll see in the commentary that, like at the end, staff should consider the quality of comments, debate, and inputs when implementing new tools. So that's where I placed it in this first rough draft. ATRT2, Assessment of Recommendation Implementation. So the first paragraph is an assessment of how the implementation went, and then you'll see in the second paragraph there's actually some suggestions about how to move that activity forward, if you will. That's how I chose to do it. I'm not saying it's the right way. I'm not saying there shouldn't be a heading. I'm just noting for you that's how I fit it in there.
And I think it might be clearer if we separate into two sections the ATRT2's analysis of the implementation and analysis of the effectiveness as two separate items.
Okay, Beth.
Isn't that already done in the next two headings?
What's that?
The way that I read this, that's already done with these two headings. It's the, you have the analysis of the recommendation, and then you have an assessment, complete, incomplete, effectively address the issue or not. Is that, are you
Oh, can we it? Scroll back up, Alice, just, and so we can see both, yeah, those, yes, right there.
Yeah, I took that as breaking them out already.
So, yeah, we jumped.
Just reading it.
We jumped one, sorry. So we had summary of other relevant research, which we all agree on, and we're passed. Next one is ATRT2, analysis of recommendation implementation, and then ATRT2, assessment of recommendation implementation. For example, complete, incomplete, effectively address the issue or not, could include effectiveness, if you just want to read it, word it another way. So I think Beth's point is that your suggestion may be captured in some way in this heading. And if you think we should edit it, that's open.
The reason I'm suggesting separate them is one is an assessment of how well staff did, and one is, in fact, a retrospective assessment of the recommendation. And I don't think we should meld those. You know, staff may have implemented the 21 plus 21 public comment perfectly, but it is not working. That's not a staff issue necessarily. And I just think it may be useful to separate the two.
So ATRT2 analysis of recommendation implementation, ATRT2 assessment of effectiveness of the recommendation. Is that where you're going?
Something like that. I mean, it's effectiveness of the recommendation and the implementation, I guess. But
so isn't that captured in that heading? ATRT2 assessment of recommendation implementation, for example, complete, incomplete, effectively addressed issue or not. I think effectively addressed issue or not is calling for our assessment of was it effective or not.
I guess I think of completeness as belonging to the previous title. We're
okay.
We're analyzing the implementation.
I think we're in violent agreement. I believe we are. Is this a turn of a phrase, or is this really a new heading?
I guess I'm commenting on the complete, incomplete, I think is part of our assessment of their implementation.
Okay, I think I see Alan's point. If we took the word complete and incomplete, complete, comma, incomplete, and put it in brackets after ATRT2 analysis of recommendation implementation, and then had ATRT2 assessment of recommendation implementation, e.g., effectively addressed issue or not,
I think that would capture what I'm saying, yes.
Okay. Folks, does that clear for everyone? Does that make sense? Any other edits or suggestions? Avery?
This is Avery. I have a question. In other words, there are certainly things one could say other than complete and incomplete. Does including that mean that we cannot? So it's inter alia, complete or incomplete. If I can continue, for example, means that you don't have to discuss complete or incomplete. You can discuss anything. Inter alia means you need to discuss incomplete and complete and can optionally do other stuff just to make sure, because inter alia is including but not limited to.
And, of course, some recommendations, implementation is ongoing for the who is an SSR. They're in the process, yeah.
Yeah. Olivier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Olivia speaking. May I recommend the use of standard terms so we would have complete, incomplete, ongoing, and perhaps a few others that this committee would identify and then make use of those throughout all of our recommendations so as not to confuse the reader.
Very good suggestion. Let's do that. Just as a matter of interpretation language, can you explain the distinction between incomplete and ongoing? I'm not being facetious here. I'm not being facetious. Distinction between incomplete and ongoing.
Right. Well, I mean, if you want to parse words, I think there's a difference between implementation that is ongoing. We're in the process of implementing, and there's potentially a recommendation where we're not where we're done, but it wasn't fully implemented. It's incomplete.
Done is complete. I really want clarity here because this is going to go out to the rest of the team. And Olivier, then Aubrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Olivier speaking. Incomplete might be as incomplete, but it stopped. The process has stopped. Nothing is going on anymore. Ongoing is both incomplete, but things are still moving forward. There's a distinction to make between the two.
Concurrence. Okay, so is everyone comfortable with complete, incomplete?
No.
We have 12 minutes left.
Yeah, we've got 12 minutes left in the session. And we've got more to talk about. Beth.
This is Beth, sorry. I think just need to bring it back to this is a tool to get your thoughts on paper, I think, at this point. So I know that it's all of our nature, and all of our nature is to really focus on the semantics of things, but I think it's a tool to get your thoughts down. You guys are going to meet again. You can edit to your heart's content. I think it's just a way to get you going.
Wonderfully said. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Are we okay with the headings as edited? And Olivia, your point about standard terms and using them throughout is well taken. Okay. Olivia?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Olivia speaking. And as Beth said, we can always think until we meet if we need to add any further terms.
Okay. Can you just go through finish that off, and then let's skip through the rest of the document and then have a discussion about what? There was one other substantive point brought up earlier about a heading as to rationale for a recommendation, but that's where we are making a recommendation, which is in part two of this document, part B. Correct?
No.
No? I'm sorry.
It's Lisa for the record. Well, I think we should still have the rationale for the prior recommendations, too. It might not be specifically expressed, but it would be nice to think of a rationale. What was the rationale about having the recommendation, and do we think they met this?
You're correct. It's a necessary component to help our analysis. Absolutely. Again, this is a tool, and it's not meant to be a cumbersome document. Okay. The ATRT 1 report is there with all the analysis in that report. We can certainly ask that the drafter bring in a clear and concise summary of that rationale. That might take a little bit of reading and work. I don't want it to be too laborious, but I think you're right. That's an important element of our analysis. Fiona.
No, you just finished with the right word, analysis. HR2's analysis of the recommendation captures the issue of the rationale. So we don't need another phrase on the rationale, but that should fall under that.
So under that heading, include the rationale and your analysis of the implementation.
Yes. Sorry, but I'm trying to keep things short and brief, but I think it helps me work with the document better.
Thank you. And Larissa, is this all being captured? These. Okay, great. Thanks. We'll have a sidebar after this meeting to make sure we've got it all. Okay, anything else on this? Okay, can we skim through this part B? And I really do want to have a few minutes to have some open brainstorming about the shape of the ultimate report, etc. Okay, so part B is where we are making a new recommendation, whether it ties back to ATRT1 or whether it is about a new issue or whether it's about the review process itself. We've got hypothesis of the problem, background research undertaken, which again, summary of ICANN input, summary of community input. Thanks. A summary of other relevant research, those three mirror. I can make the necessary edits, pulling off the edits that we just made. And the rest of these, I think, track to a large degree what ATRT1 did. The importance is not what ATRT1 did, but what are the elements in this that we need to create an analytical foundation for a recommendation. Relevant ICANN bylaws, relevant ICANN published policies, relevant ICANN published procedures, and then ATRT2 analysis, a draft recommendation, and then this presumes the next two, I believe, after we've posted in October, public comment on those draft recommendations and final recommendations. So for filling out the template, you would go up to draft recommendation, leaving the last two blank. Anything missing, anything for edit on these headings? Fiona.
Being that I worked on this, I found it very clear and straightforward. And it was easy for me to put in all the input, though I've not put in everything. But subheadings that were identified, they were easy to understand, though of course I know you're going to make amendments as per the discussion we've had, which will just add value. So for me it was easy looking at that, and that is when we go back and saying, yeah, I can see where everything falls into. It was, I worked on the multilingual quality, and yeah, it was easy to put in the input, though I don't have all the material.
Very good, thank you. Any other suggestions on these? Yes, Larissa.
Draft recommendation and rationale perhaps would be good there.
Draft recommendation and rationale.
Including rationale.
Including rationale.
To capture
Lisa's
point.
I'm seeing nodding heads on that. Okay. Alan?
Yeah. My experience is that until each of us actually go through and try this for a couple of cases, it's hard to assess whether it's really the right titles or not. So just... you know, with the caveat going forward that we shouldn't be tied to this at the expense of not doing our job properly.
Thank you. Anything else on the headings? Okay. All right, so Olivier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Olivier speaking. Are there supposed to be links then underneath those headings? Links to documents, or is that text that is going to be drafted?
Well, I think these tools are to organize our thoughts and provide the basis for fulsome discussion and debate in Los Angeles. You can put links in there, and they'll be circulated to the team. So as long as the link works and the reader is being directed to precisely the text that you want them to consider as part of the document, fine. If it's sending them to a document, it's not clear. There's a question: do I read the whole report or just page 5? Then I'd say copy and paste page 5 and put it in this template for the ease of the reader. Make sense? Okay. So with staff, after this, we'll make sure all these edits were incorporated, circulate this template to everyone on the team with some notes about the discussion here in terms of elements to include in given sections. Are we fine? Okay. Let's take the few minutes that we have to have a very open brainstorming kind of just sense of the members of the team right now about the ultimate shape of the report here, where our thinking is on this. This is for the purpose of kicking off discussion. This is not proscriptive in any way. This is my own brainstorming. In just reflecting, I think the length of the report is something we need to think about. The structure, I've heard some say that the structure of ATRT1 report was a bit laborious, clunky, and Carlos in particular had said that he'd put some thought as to the structure of this report and look to improve that, and I said, you know, feel free. So length of the report, structure of the report, these are my words. Focused comes to mind, targeted comes to mind, the number of recommendations. I mean, ATRT1 made 27 recommendations. It's a large number. It was at a point in time where that review team felt it had to be a bit more prescriptive and detailed. I'm not convinced that's necessarily the approach we have to take, but again, these are loose thoughts I have. In looking back, I think it's important to note successes and call those out and to encourage continuation of successes. At the same time, a theme that's come up is, does it look like I can just check the box on this? And I've heard that enough. But when we use phrases like that, I think we owe it to ICANN and the community to really define what we mean by that, get underneath that, and give a qualitative assessment of this was just a check the box, and here's why we think that's the case. And then on the review process itself, and these are just some forward-looking things, this is now the second one I'm participating in, it's not a terribly efficient next meeting in here?
I thought we had till 9:30.
No. It's not a terribly efficient process. It's volunteers. We haven't started on time twice. There's a lot of ramp-up time. You all see how the calendar works, not necessarily in our favor. I think we really need to take an open approach to the review process and how it might be improved from a number of different vectors, and maybe even different types of review. Sorry, we're getting squeezed on time. Those are my loose thoughts right now. I would like... Can we just take a couple minutes for anybody, or we have to exit? Okay. Okay. I apologize for that, but we're out of time. All right, so we'll make sure the templates get circulated and get that off to the entire team. Thank you all very much for a very hard week of work, and particularly to staff for your excellent support throughout the week. Thank you very, very much.
As people recover from this week, maybe we could put an email some of the thoughts that we haven't discussed right now in the report. I think it's really crucial.
Excellent.
The report is going to be really, really long no matter what we do, just because of the retrospective assessment. We really have to be careful.
Thank you, Ellen. Please do that. Please, everyone, share your thoughts on the shape of the report, your high-level thinking. Let's get that dialogue going. Thank you.